you desire to pour out in us. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we walk in that faith and we say yes. Hallelujah. We don't look at our situations or our problems, but we look at you. We say thank you. Come on, somebody say thank you. Can you say thank you? Come on, just say thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me tonight. Come on, somebody shout, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for victory. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Come on, amen. Come on, say thank you for another 100.
Thank you for 100.
For another 100, amen. Come on, hallelujah. Woo.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Isn't that an awesome song?
100 days tomorrow. So,
that's homegrown. David and Chris wrote that song. So that's an awesome song, man. Wrote that, man.
Huh?
In like 2 hours.
Another honey?
Hey, amen. You may be seated.
Yeah. Is this on? Can you hear me? I'm going to do something a little different. Can I do something a little different? That requires your participation. So, that being said, and don't get nervous, because we are a body, hallelujah. And this spoke to me Saturday night, that, how many were in the house Saturday? Okay. That we here are a family. That we are a body, hallelujah. That what my brother, my sister, what we go through, we all go through together. There's nothing that you can't go through that she don't supply or we don't supply. Hallelujah. That everything that we need is found in the house. Amen. Everything we need is right here. And look at your brothers and sisters. It's found in them because something that you are going through, they may have already been through and that they can help you get through. Vice versa, something you are going through, they'll be able to shed the light on. So that being said, all the disciples that have already been the first two classes, come up here. If you've been through the first couple classes, don't get scared. It's all good. And if there's not enough room, we can go over here a little bit. Amen. You guys can sit. You can sit. You can sit. Yeah, I won't make you stand the whole time. Scooch together. Is there room for Roberto? Or we can put Roberto right here by Chris. Here, bud. Go right there. That way you don't have to, like, there. All right. I hope you don't mind, Roberto. God told me to do this, so I hope you don't mind. You're going to start. I'm going to pass the microphone down. And I want you, these ones here that have been through the class, listen. We all have something within us, right? We all have something to share, but sometimes we are not given the opportunity to maybe have the platform. I'm not giving you the opportunity to maybe preach a sermon. That's not what I'm saying. All that I want is I want to share with these ones that are here what God is doing in your life. What is God doing? What is God showing you? Even from, I want to say February of this year, since things begin to turn. Hallelujah. And then with the prophet of God here Saturday night, there was more light shed, amen, of what God is doing in this house, in our people, hallelujah, in you. So you could be 5 minutes, you could be 10. I don't care how long. If what God is doing in you, just share something God has shown you through this process. And wow, like this is the beginning of May, like actually 3 months. And what God has shown you, amen. I just want you to hear. I want the people to hear from you, not that it's just about the pastors, that it's about the body. Listen, those of you that were here Saturday night, did you see the mass of people up here? Did you see the people up here? Amen. That is a testimony. What our hearts cried out for 5, 6 years, 7 years, that we would have a people that would stand with us. God has brought it to pass. I could have cried there in my seat tonight when I seen the worship team tonight because we used to do CDs. Amen. that there's nothing wrong with CDs. Even Saturday night, we used to put on a CD. There's nothing wrong with CDs because you can enter in wherever you are. But listen, because we waited and we didn't make it happen, we didn't try, we didn't like, Lord, it's in your hands, hallelujah. We knew that we would get to a place, hallelujah, that tonight, hallelujah, last Wednesday, for several weeks, we've been doing live worship from those that are in the midst of this body here, hallelujah. Amen. I am so proud. I am so honored what God is doing in this house, the people that He's linked us with. I just want these ones to share just a little snippet, a little bit of what God is showing them. Listen, they went through the class. They've been sifted. Their heart was, Lord, I want more. Amen. They stood up. They took a stand for the cause of Christ, for the cause to say, I want more of you, hallelujah. And in that class, I believe Pastor Chris was showing the heart of the Father, hallelujah, that was beginning to draw them to Himself, hallelujah, that it's not about a me, an I, but a we, hallelujah. It's about a we in this house, a we company, hallelujah. And so I'm going to go over here and just, you know, Chris, you can be my, or I might get the mic, the pastor of the mic, hallelujah. This is Roberto. Oh, he wants to be last. Okay. Who wants to be first over here? Randy? Ooh. I like those first people.
Oh, got to stand up?
You can come stand.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I've always been kind of a shy person, and I don't like speaking in front of people, and like, if somebody would say something where I should say something about God, I would probably just think about it and not do it. But like after the class, like Pastor was talking about how Peter walked out on the water. And it's like now, like where I work, I drive a demo, and there are people that use my car all the time. And I always have Christian music on in my car. So it used to be, well, I'll turn that off because they don't want to listen to that. But now I always have it on, so whenever they get in, they hear it. And also, people at work where they'll say, oh man, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And I'll tell them, well, I'll pray for you. Where before I used to just think it, and now I'm saying it out loud. So.
I think the biggest thing I got out of the class is, you know, we all say we want more of God, but you know what? When you ask more of Him, for more of Him, He's going to show up. And then sometimes it's like, well, maybe God, I didn't want you to kind of that way. I wanted it my way. You know what I mean? So going through the class, no, you know what I mean? Like going through the class, I'm learning that I'm asking for of Him, but I also know that I have to give a lot more of me. Which a lot of times I might lack and still lack, but I just know that He loves me and He's right there and I can keep on going. And like, we all have certain gifts in us and those can be brought out. And the biggest thing and the hardest thing for me is, and like, I'm not like a person. I always thought, well, I told Pastor Chris, well, I can't pray like that. And I can't, we're not called to pray a certain way because there has been people in this church and other places, but especially in this church, that have touched me and don't even know maybe that they have. So maybe I can touch somebody in the way that I can speak because I can be down to earth and talk to somebody about something I've gone through or whatever. So don't ever cut yourself short because the more you grow and the more you ask, the more He'll grow you. But it's walking with Him and not ahead of Him. So that's what I'm learning.
No, I'll say not yet to that. Any of you who are here for the night of testimonies you have, you know, I've pretty much always struggled with my relationship with God. And through the discipleship class, it helped me to draw closer to God in a lot of ways, to see God differently, to, really start to do daily devotions. I mean, that's never really been a part of my life before. I didn't really participate fully in the 21-day fast because I was sick, so you know, wasn't fast while I was sick, although I guess I would have showed more devotion than not being sick, fasting when you're well, but I didn't. But through all this, Melissa and I both have been really trying to get closer to God, get more in tune with our relationship with God. The app that I always use for looking up Bible verses is a YouVerse app on my phone. And there are some reading plans that I've been doing since the fast, since the discipleship class. And when we went up to Erie, we got a booklet from the church we went to on Easter Sunday called Get Your Hopes Up. And it's a daily devotion. And that, those two things, and one of the daily devotion Bible reading plans was called There Is More. And there's a book that goes along with it that we want to get to read. But it's all about, you know, getting, you know, the book, Get Your Hopes Up. You know, we in the church tend to, people say to you, you know, well, you know, you say, well, I want to do this or that, or I want to, you know, start doing this or that, I want to get closer to God, I want to, or anything. And they'll say, well, you know, that's great, but don't get your hopes up, you know. No, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up, you know, because God is a God of more. God wants to give you more. But we don't grasp that. We don't claim that. We don't grab a hold of that. God is a God of more. You know, he's not stingy with his blessings. You know, we tend to think that he is, because the things we don't see, the things we want to see in our life, or we don't see them at the time we want to see them. And you know, we tend to think, oh well, you know, God doesn't love me, or God doesn't care, or God doesn't want to do this for me. Yeah, he does. It just may not be his time. But God is a God of more. You know, and that's what God's been revealing to me.
Yeah, you sure are. I am not a public speaker. I hate, and I don't like a microphone. But I got saved when I was 9 years old, and the church we went to, I didn't learn anything. I mean, I knew about God and I knew about Jesus, but I never really learned about the Holy Spirit. And so once I started coming to the other church and started learning about the Holy Spirit and like having a relationship, but I was always so shy, I'm still very insecure as far as my praying out loud. And Pastor, my mind went blank. Pastor Chris, has seen more in me than I've ever seen in myself. And I doubt myself all the time. And we started the discipleship program. I don't know, several times he has said to me, you are already discipling. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I do not see myself as a disciple. But through that and through the 21-day fast, where mine was the devotion thing, it's my thing in the morning, put the coffee on before I have to go put the kids on the bus, have my coffee and play on the iPad. Well, I started with I have a devotional book plus the daily bread plus my Bible. I'd read those scriptures and read more, spending more time there. And I'm finding, I guess, that I'm growing more than what I thought I was. That there's more there. I want more. I want to understand more. And I want to be able to, just on the spur of the moment, Renee has always, I've looked up to her to the fact that right now she'll stop and pray for somebody. Something's going on. She prays for somebody, and that has always, when I worked for her, that has always impressed me. And I can't do that, but I'm finding myself doing that. And it's getting easier. It's still very hard, but it is getting easier. And I I'm understanding more now that I know that I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit Himself. And it's exciting every time something happens that I know that that was, you know, from God. I love when I'll say, you hear that, and then I'll say, was that you, God? And right away there's an answer comes back. Yep, it was Him. So now that you're making more aware and you're beginning to understand, even at my age, it's a constant learning. And it's like, God, why didn't this happen back when I was a kid? But I guess it wasn't. It's a whole different teaching now than what we were then. It was like, I got married in a Methodist church. I went to a Baptist church first. That's where I got saved. And everything you did, you were going to HE double, you know, where. And so I was more afraid. I was afraid all the time that everything I did was wrong. I couldn't do anything right. So I guess I'm just growing. More than I know.
Okay. So, I didn't know if I should do the discipleship or not, because, like, I'm really backward. And this is going to be short and sweet. But I did it, and kind of felt dumb a couple times, because Pastor Chris said, we all know the verse, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, don't know it. Felt this big. But it was weird, because when I was younger, I knew all the books of the Bible. I knew anything that you were supposed to know that you learned. I got all the little awards or whatever you want to call them for everything that had to do with it. But now I don't remember half of it, like next to none of it. But so every morning, Kelly had said something in Power Fit about getting a little journal or something. So every morning when I get up, before I even get out of bed, I write at least two things in there that I'm thankful for every day. So that's been helping me. I have K-Love on all the time. But the thing that I'm, I guess, most proud of is the 21-day fast. Now, everybody's saying all this good stuff that they did, but mine was chocolate. But if you know me, when I was selling Daphne's candy bars, I think I ate half of what was sold. But, so, 21 days without chocolate was really, really, really hard. That was no chocolate mocha for my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which is my favorite. That was no chocolate in my Cookie Crisp cereal or, like, hot chocolate, any of that. So after the 21 days, I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait for 21 days. Now, I didn't get to come to church a lot because I've been sick, but I still did my fast. And the day after the fast, I'm like, yes, I still have some fudge in the refrigerator. Dad didn't eat it all. So I got a piece of fudge, and I was only halfway through it, and I was sick. Like, I haven't had any chocolate in my Dunkin' Donuts coffee since then. I haven't had, and, like, I'm not supposed to have pop and chocolate and all that stuff because of my physical diabetic. Plus, I have acid reflux, different stuff, but I'm not supposed to have any of that stuff. You know, for the life of me, I cannot go but a day or two without it. And I went, like, all that time, and now I barely even want it.
You know, I just wanted to say, not only from disciple class, but just from PK and Kelly, I learned to be the light. I work at Walmart, and they're Nancy negative all day long up there. It's terrible. And I go to work, and I smile, and I thank them, and I appreciate them. And I've been off for 4 weeks because I had surgery, and I'm sorry I didn't do the 21-day fast because obviously it started the day after the day I had my surgery, so it didn't go as I planned. But I went to work today to turn in my papers because I have to go back to work Tuesday, and they're all like, oh, we missed you, we can't wait for you to come back. And you know, I just go to work and I'm happy. It doesn't matter if you like your job or if you like anything, you just go and you be happy and you do your job. And you know, they know on Saturday at 7 o'clock, don't call me because I'm on my way to church. I leave and come on my lunch break. So they all learn there's something different about me than anybody else there. And I've learned so much here, but that's, I learned to be the light. when I go to work, and that's what I learned a lot more of it.
Nimsy, thank you, because I don't see that in me. We don't see the good that's in us. We see the negative. And I think God's been working that. Even Kelly and I were working one day, and I said, God just showed me something. And she said, what? And I said, on the road to Emmaus, he said, who do you think I am? No one saw Jesus. We don't see the Jesus that's in us. We don't look for the Jesus that's in the rest of us. We look for negative. We're a negative society. We don't look at the positive. And God's been stressing more and more, if you can't say something positive, shut up. Because the only thing that lifts your friend up is something positive. And we're not walking the way. God didn't put us down. He lifted us up. And we're not lifting those around us up. I don't care whether it's a hug. More and more lately, somebody said to me, you know, how do you know what to say when you said it? I said, I don't. I open my mouth and God fills it. And I think that's our problem. We forget to open the mouth and say, God, I don't know what to say, but if you do, I'm here. And I found more times than enough. And I've learned just over the last year more and more, when God tells you to say something to somebody, go do it. Because every time you do, tonight I had a word for somebody. She said, you don't know what you just did for me. I've been praying all day. What if I hadn't given it? She wouldn't have had her answer. So I think more and more of anything is just be available. And I don't care whether it's say something positive to anybody that comes up to you. It might be the only thing positive that ever happens to them. I know I had a beauty shop for years, and I had one lady that would come 2-3 times a week and get her hair washed and set, and she didn't need it. It looked as nice when she came in as when she left. And I said to her husband, she doesn't need this. This is, you're wasting money. He said, no, you're the only one that touches her. You're the only one that has time to talk to her. And if I have to pay, at that time it was $5 for her, if I have to pay $15 a week, my wife is happy. But we don't realize we might be the only positive light in somebody's world because people put fronts on, they put walls up, they do things to make us think they're just like us when they're there and they don't even, you know, they know what to say. If somebody swears around me, they always apologize. I didn't ask you to apologize. You know, what makes you, I didn't condemn you. You know what I mean? So I think just God wants us to be us with a hand looking, with his hand showing. He wants us to, we can't be him, we'll never be him. But we can look at him and do some of the things that he would have us to do. Just walking our talk, I think, or trying. And it's, every one of you is an example to me. Randy sits there diligently. The overhead is amazing. Do we tell him? No. We just expect it because he always has it. But it's amazing. What's one little word saying to him? He's going to look for a better screen than that. If I can do this good and they think it's good, wait till I see the next one. You guys sing. No one, you know, we don't have to know. You're up there every week. We expect it. But we don't thank you. We need to. The sound coming from the choir, from our group, is amazing. But we don't take the time to tell people thank you. Why? God would have. Nimsy prays in the background. No one knows the hour she spends on the prayer request. God does. God sees. That's a ministry that I myself am involved with. but I couldn't do the job she does because I'm not Mimsy. Melissa has a gift of putting meetings together, of doing sign-ups. I don't have the time. I might have the gift. I don't have the time. You know, and they're amazing. And we forget to tell the people. You know, but everyone around us. Roberto, I always look up to him. He's blind, but you don't know it. You wouldn't know it because he don't let anybody know. God shows him his step by step in the natural as well as in the spiritual. And he just takes a step in faith. But we don't. We take it for granted he can see where he's going. And I mean, we don't appreciate the fact that God shows him that step. Barb's here just as a caretaker. And I know what it's like to deal with dementia. I cannot imagine going 5 days a week to answer the same question 35,000 times or to, oh, it's okay, we're going to do this. You know, I just can't imagine. That's a special gift. That's a gift that I wish I had more of, but I don't. And I don't know, Austin, you're always going to be turtle. But the turtle has more significance because you keep your head inside that shell to protect yourself all the time. But God's saying that shell's being broken. You're not going to be allowed to hide in the background. You're going to step out and be in the front. You're going to stop the negative. You're going to be there. And you're not going to be hiding or running to be busy so that you don't have to do what God's called you to do. Because lately you've been running from what God had you to do. And he said, you're done. You're going to be there to open your mouth and be the word in season. Pastor Kelly, God wants you to know that he sees your tears. He's heard your outcry. And he loves that about you. Because you don't cry just for you. You're crying for the multitudes. Sometimes you're crying because you don't even know who you're crying for. And you're praying for that person you don't know who you're praying for. And you're having a hard time with that. Well, God, why am I crying, God? You don't have to know anymore. God said, I know who you're crying for. And your tears are healing tears. You raise up your voice, I'll send the angels. Chris, God wants you to know you're on the right road. He said, stop doubting yourself. Stop questioning it at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and say, I think I should run. He sees you when you're hiding. He said, I'm right there. Ask for my hand. He said, I can't comfort you unless you allow me in. And he said, he sees the hurts you're still going through. Your self-doubt, whether you're worth what God's ready to give you. God said, you're good enough. You're more than good enough. You are going to change the community you come out of. But you can't do it unless you walk with him, trust him, and take the time to be there.
My testimony begins in 1999, September 26th, and Lehigh County State Prison. That's where my life totally was changed. When I actually got incarcerated, within 2 months, I was trying to think about committing suicide. I've been transferred to several different prisons, and the Lord has always been there to put someone in my path to tell me, "You're not done yet. You're not done yet." So, my last prison was at Mercer Prison, and when I came to Newcastle, I had met so many wonderful people. And when Barb became my caregiver, she actually invited me to come over to this church. And I kept saying to myself at the church that I was at, "I can't leave, Lord, unless you tell me to leave." And then when Pastor Chris had spoke his first sermon, it's like the Lord was telling me, "It's time." And when I came to this church, I've not only had fell in love with the church, but I fell in love with the family in the church, because that's what we are, a family. And each and everyone has this unique gift within us that is ready to be burst out of us. And sometimes we're afraid to try to let loose. And there's a saying, "Let go and let God." I say, "Let loose and let God." Because God has something greater within us that He wants to share within the world. This Saturday that just passed, it was amazing because the presence of the Lord was in this place. The angels that were in this place, and the multitude of people that we had here from that time, it was because the angels drew them here and brought them into this place. And I look at Austin. Austin has a gift within him that he sometimes holds back at times. But there's a special thing in his heart. He has the passion, the love for the Lord, and he's not afraid of showing it. And there's a lot of great things you're going to do, Austin, and I know it, because you're going to be a leader in a place. Right now, I just came out of the hospital. While I was going in the kitchen and Barb prepared me something to eat, I was putting it in the microwave, and my left leg just gave in, so my head hit the microwave door and cut it open, and it started gashing out blood. Usually when I fall down, I'll get back up and I won't worry about calling an ambulance, but once I put my hand right there and I noticed the blood, automatically fear came in me. So when the paramedic came and said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Not really." He says, "Well, you should go and get yourself checked up, because you never know. Because some people say they won't go, and the next day they're actually in the morgue. Because you never know." So I went and I prayed, and I kept sharing my faith with the Lord with the paramedics and the people in there. And then the girl that was doing took me for a test. I said, "Look, listen, I want to get out of here." And she says, "Well, we don't know if we're going to admit you." I said, "No, you're not going to admit me, because Jesus is going to tell me to get out of here. You know, I'm ready for church." She says, "Okay, I'll talk to the doctor and tell him how's everything." So when the nurse came in, he says, "Everything's okay. Just follow up with your doctor. You're going to be fine." I said, "Great." He says, "Do you have somebody to pick you up?" I said, "No, not really." He says, "Well, we could call this place, but it's going to take 2 or 3 hours before they get here." I said, "No, I don't want to be 2 or 3 hours. So I called my friend Gino. Gino said, "Give me 45 minutes and I'll go pick you up." So he picked me up and I came over here. And that's, I'm showing the Lord that I'm trying to be as much obedient to Him than to myself. I'm not trying to follow what Roberto wants to do. I want to follow what Jesus wants me to do. Because I look at the situation when when Paul was trying to go to Damascus, and he heard the voice of the Lord call out his name, and that's the same way I felt while I was incarcerated. Amen.
I'm glad you're better. Anybody else that maybe aren't in the classes?
It's a different view behind the pulpit. I'm used to being over there all the time. Oh, where's my gavel? Oh, see, some people down here, they take it, not responsibility of being a greeter, but I take responsibility in being a greeter. You see, because you never know when God's going to use you. And what does it say in the Bible? It basically speaks about the greeters. You don't see it doesn't basically speak about the fivefold ministry in there all the time. And quit making trouble over there, Kate. And one thing I learned about being in a disciple class is I noticed that the body is behind a pastor. It's the pastor all the time. You think the pastor's behind his congregation? No. I learned that the congregation's behind the pastor. They're not afraid to pray for their pastor. And I don't know what went through me that one night. Pastor Chris called all his disciples up here. And what he prayed for me, I don't know what he prayed for me. But God told me to go over there, give Aaron a hug, and start praying for him. I started praying for him. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, that's the feeling I want. You can't help for jump for joy she's my influence. Kelly, Pastor Chris, they're all my influences down here. I look up to them.
You can go back or you can stay. It's okay. Anybody else wanted to add anything? We're all the body. Amen. Okay. Yes. You want to come up or use the mic? Are you a talk?
Everybody. miracles and all that is because they ministered Jesus in her.
Yes.
She was showing so much Jesus, so much negativity, that once she left, they were hungry for that.
Yeah.
They needed that.
Yeah.
And when she came back, they came out and said, oh, we're happy you're back. But it wasn't only because of her, because of Jesus.
Yes, it does. Amen. Anybody else? Come on.
Okay, so like one of the biggest things of why I'm breaking 100 days clean tomorrow is because of this place right here. Is there a roster anyway? You remember when you choose to be. Is there a roster? I didn't think there was a roster. You remember when you choose to be, right? You better sign up. You're here. Right. Okay. So like I get pumped about them songs. Like praise and worship, like gives you a feeling, like being on stage and whatever, just like it's those positive things keeping you clean. So like, cause like, I'm a person that like a thought creates a feeling, feeling usually creates my behaviors. And if I'm being negative all the time, I'm gonna act negatively, and I'm gonna do some dumb stuff. So when I'm doing like positive things, I feel good about myself. You know, that creates feelings of like contentment, enjoyment, and you know, joy, like actual, like true joy. So, whenever that happens, like my behaviors become more positive. I don't do certain things that I used to do, and you know, like that's one of the biggest things that like is really like putting a strong foundation down for me to keep pushing forward. And like I'm excited to record a demo. Like I went from like being on the streets. I'm not scum, but I was. Because of the thing, I was under the control of something. So I went from doing that to getting pumped about it, the music, and you know, I went from a hopeless dope fiend to a dopeless hope fiend. I went from a hopeless dope fiend to a dopeless hope fiend.
David, do you have anything? Anybody else? David, anybody? Come on. Do you have anything? Sure. That was a good song, by the way. Written by them. Wow. More to come. More to come.
Okay. I was raised in church with Chris and Kelly. They were our youth pastors as kids, you know? And I'm getting old too. But honestly, okay, so I was sitting over there and thinking, and every time people were speaking, my brain's flying and flying, and I'm thinking all these things. And like, honestly, like, okay, so my perception of church, you know, you had to walk in and you had to have a suit and a tie on and you had to be perfect, you know, and like the way that I portrayed myself wearing masks and everything to appear to be doing really well. You know, and it was my, like, my deception of myself. Like, okay, if I do good things and I act right and I do right, God will love me. And the truth is, He loves me no matter what I'm doing. So, so we come here and like, you know, like the praise and worship is very important to me. Like, it really is. Like, God moves through me. Like, He gave me this gift. And I give it back. I don't know which one of us is the Indian giver, but it's pretty cool. Like I really like, I feel called to do that. And, so my relationship with God today is like everything that keeps me clean and it has to be like the most important, you know, it has to be number one for me. And, like I was in this treatment center, right? And it was like a Catholic mass and it was boring. Like, you know, kneel, but I found this like very, very spiritual moving moment there. And I did the reading and it had to do, you know, I think you said it about Peter walking on the water. Okay. And that verse, like it really struck it because I read it and, I read it in front of the church. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, okay, so like he steps out on the water. He's the only one that has the faith to do that. And he steps out and he starts walking on the water and he's got his eyes on Jesus. And as he's walking, he starts looking around to the left and the right, and the waves are getting big, and he gets scared, and he starts to sink. And so my feeling inside immediately was like, okay, if I keep my eyes on Jesus, and I won't sink back into drug and alcohol addiction. You know, and it was like just powerful. So like my relationship today is like, okay, so a relationship, everything that it should be, right? I've told you this before. It, like, okay, a relationship should be like, all, like the biggest thing that, okay, where's Melissa's downstairs? Where's Randy? What does Melissa tell you the biggest part of a relationship? Communication? Is that, does women think that, right? So relationship, it should be communication, honesty, fidelity, you know, like, communication. I mean, that's it. That's all that Jesus expects of me. Like a relationship with God. I have to be honest. I have to communicate. And it's not even like praying in the morning and praying at night. It's just always all day. And when I pray, it's like I get this feeling to where I just talk to him. You know, like I just talk to him like I've talked to you or you, you know, like I just say how it is. And like that connection is strong and I feel it inside, you know, like undeniable feeling. And like, just, I don't know, it's just incredible today. I'm so grateful to be here. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. He had a good word Saturday night. Amen. I know that took up some time, but it was beautiful. Was it beautiful listening to our brothers and sisters? Amen. Because listen, I don't know if you know it or not, but everything that every one of you said was my notes for tonight. Can you, like, drawing us in and wanting more of Him and communion with God and that we are who we, listening to Jesus, you know, that we are who we are. Listen, you have so much within you. And those of you maybe didn't come up here or didn't get a chance to say anything, I bet that all of us can be on those same lines, amen, that can say the same thing that just says, I want more. And it's beautiful because I used to be the one also that would get prayer requests and be like, oh, I'll pray for them. No, I stop what I'm doing now. And I get that name that she sends in that phone, and I pray for that person now. Now, in the name of Jesus, bring healing, whatever it is, comfort, strength, whatever it is, now. Amen. Don't be afraid to go to someone now. When God puts someone on your heart, don't be afraid to lift them up. You may be at home, you may be at work, you may be in bed. When God puts somebody on your heart, just come to the Father. Lift them up before the Father, because listen, He is trusting you to do that. He has shown that to you, and He is trusting you to lift them up, to commune with Him. Amen. Pastor Brian was here Saturday night. He was also at Pastor Sam and Joyce's on Sunday morning. And I told this to my sister, Mimsy. I have yet to find out what this means. And I have to talk to the Lord because his wife prayed over us. My daughter got her socks blessed off. Hallelujah. That alone for me was, I mean, I could bask in His goodness just for that because, you know, just, you know, to have the child and that God speaks over your child is just, I can't even put it into words. It's just amazing. It's just, Pastor Brian spoke, Prophet Brian spoke, and then he went around the room and he prayed. And when he came to me this time, you know, he was talking about organization. And I still want to ask God, you know, I'm disorganized, but I am disorganized in a sense when I study because all my notes are here and there and everywhere. And I need a better organizational, like, system in a sense, like pulling out words and scriptures and documentaries that are the Bible and how you flip through things. And then the last thing he said to me, do you remember? He said, Sister Kelly, I feel like you're herding cats. Herding cat? What does that mean, Lord? And he left. And he left. And my sister, Mimsy, had a wonderful word about bringing an intercessor and God is catching her up to the heavens and that she will be released and be an intercessor. And my pastor, my sister Joyce, is getting prayed for and prophesied over that she has the sword of the Spirit and that she has the secrets and that she is going to slay and cut open whatever the vault and send out these secrets in a sense that the people know who they are. And I said to my sister Mimsy after the service, I said, I don't get it. I said, I don't get it. You're an intercessor. She has the sword of the Spirit, and I'm herding cats. I don't know. I said, Lord, I have to talk to you about that. I have to talk to you. Huh? Her. Come on, get it. Maybe I am in a sense, like, but we won't be long because, amen. Just like Mother Cat. Thank you. I knew somebody would have an interpretation. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 But you know what? Come on, come on. Amen. 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 See, I knew somebody would have a definition. Thank you. That was your interpretation. I just thought it was comical. I had to share it because I'm like herding cats. And Brian, we had to leave, so I couldn't even ask Pastor Prophet Brian. I was like, what do you mean by that? Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. I'll just go in. Put on my little thingy because I'm getting blown. I really believe, like, all of us had a word from God, and we gave each other a piece of the puzzle, that all of us are finding our own place and knowing that we belong, hallelujah, knowing that we have something within us to give, amen, that we have something from the Father to give to those that are hurting, those that are broken. You have something to give. Don't think you insignificant, because the Father thinks you are significant, amen. Do not put that label upon yourself that I have nothing. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a speaker, I'm not a prayer person, I'm not this, I'm not a teacher, I'm not that. But listen, you are called, you are chosen, you are set apart. You have something, whether it be just for a friend, a family member, your child, you have something to give. My whole thing was, I know Pastor Chris is going to be done, so we'll get through this, hopefully. But my whole, if Randy wanted to title this, is draw us. Draw us, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Amen. In Jeremiah 31:3, it said, the Lord appeared unto us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Listen, God is drawing us. Hallelujah. He's wooing us. He's calling us unto himself. Amen. Wow. He is drawing you. He loves you, and he loves to draw you close to himself. It's the desire of his heart to draw you to himself. Amen. Yes, there it is. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Let God be the one that is drawing you. Let God be the one that is wooing you close to him. Hallelujah. Can you hear? I believe in this hour, in this day, in this time that this church is walking in, that we are hearing the voice of the Father like never before, saying, come, come. Like the bridegroom said to the bride, come, come. Amen. We need to hear His voice. As you draw near, close to God, listen, how do we draw near? In prayer, in worship. Amen. Reading your Word of God. Those are how we draw near to God. Just getting alone before Him. And as you do that, remember and be encouraged that He loves you. Amen. And know that His love for you is everlasting. No matter what you do, no matter if you run away from Him, the sins that we do or commit, we falter, we mess up, we slip, even though we do all things, He will never take His everlasting love from you. It is there. We have to come back to the Father and know that He loves you no matter what. Hallelujah. The Lord greatly desires that we choose Him above all else. Above all else. Hallelujah. That we may become part of His corporate bride that He is preparing. Progressively respond to Him. Let Him draw you. Hallelujah. This is our heart's cry tonight. Listen, as you heard from each and every one that was in this house tonight, it was more of God is doing this in my life. God is drawing me. God is showing me things to do, to pray for others, to pray, to respond, to go to somebody, to minister to somebody. That is Him drawing us, hallelujah, to be more like Him, hallelujah. I feel like we have a burning desire in this house and a hunger to better know Him and to grow spiritually. That's what God is doing, hallelujah, to know Him better and to grow closer to Him spiritually. Desire that your relationship be an intimate love relationship. I think one of the brothers said it, Chris, I believe, or David, I'm not sure which one, that your relationship be like it is with a bride and groom. I think these are the only two here that right now, like Bill and Jody, they're married. They came into a oneness, a union, hallelujah. Pastor Chris and I, we are in a oneness. God likens that under the marriage of the Lamb, hallelujah, that it is a closeness, it is a oneness. There's nobody, no, not even my daughter Kristen, that it can experience the oneness that my husband and I have. It's a oneness that only a husband and a wife can share. It's a bridegroom with his bride. That is what God is liking unto us, the love that He has for you. That He is so close, hallelujah, that He wants to be so close that a bride and a wife share, that they are close, hallelujah. So I wanted to read this. Sometimes we liken our relationship as an employee and employer. We do. So if I speak and tell you to go, it will destroy the very thing that I desire to accomplish within your life. If I were to continually speak to you and say, go here or go there, and do this or do that, our relationship would become like that of an employer to an employee. We wait for God to tell us, go here, do this. And we sometimes want God to do that, don't we? Tell us when to go. But listen, we have to be so careful in that because we are always waiting for God. Tell me what to do, God. Tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Show me where to go. And when we do that, we're liking it unto an employer to employee, because an employer tells an employee, you do this, go over here and I want you to finish this job, go over here and do this. We are always seeking from the employer as employees what to do next. And God doesn't want that type of relationship. When an employee tells his employee, I want you to do this, the employee responds, yes, sir, I will do that. Then at the end of the week, after he has done all these things, he returns to his employer with his hand out saying, I have done all you required of me. Now I'm ready for what? Paycheck, right? You're ready to get paid. God does not want that type of relationship. That you come as an employee to him, your employer, say, what should I do? Send me here. Send me there. He wants your relationship like the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. He is the bridegroom. He is preparing himself. He is already I believe, prepared himself. He is preparing us as the bride to be able to receive him. Hallelujah. It says in the word, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Not that we attain to be perfect, but that we strive to become all that we can be. Hallelujah. That we, as the bride of Christ, come into perfect union with our Father, the bridegroom. Hallelujah. He is our Lord, and we are to flow together with him as one. Look up John 17, 21 and 22. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I really believe that our relationship is to be an intimate love relationship. Hallelujah. That of the bridegroom with his bride. Hallelujah. Flowing together with him in, as one. Hallelujah. Flowing together with him as one. This scripture here, it says, that they all may be one. Hallelujah. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So what is God saying here? His desire is that he wanted Jesus to be one in the Father, and that we should be one in Jesus, and then be one unto them, the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. We are to be one. His desire was that we be one in him. Like it flows from the cross, we just be one. Hallelujah. That we flow together. I wrote this story down about seeking the heart of God and how he apprehends us. And I like to jot little things down, and it kind of brings around everything that I'm trying to say. I believe Jesus did this in parables. He taught in parables that your eyes would be, oh, I get it, you know, because you see in pictures, okay? One evening, a father and his daughter went for a walk. But this particular path had a long, winding lane, and there were tall evergreen trees. Picture it. Tall evergreen trees on both sides, which were so thick it was difficult for light to penetrate through, especially at night. So they were going down this walk and these trees, and it must have been evening time. So they went walking in this evening time, and he went walking with his young daughter holding her hand. And it was so dark that they were unable to see one another. As they walked, he suddenly let loose of her hand and stepped back. He could vaguely see an outline of her and had to concentrate on her form so as not to lose sight of her. When she realized that he was gone and she was in the darkness alone, she cried out, "Daddy, where are you?" He intentionally did not answer her. She panicked and started to run. Then he carefully stepped in front of her so she would run into him. And as she ran into his waiting arms, she exclaimed, "Oh, Daddy, I found you." Now, why did I say all this? Because that's the heartbeat of the Father. That we feel lost, that it's dark, that it's scary out there, that we feel like we're not holding on to our Father's hand, that we don't feel like we know where he is. Listen, run into the Father. Hallelujah. He is waiting there with open arms to grab you, envelop you, and say, "I'm right here. I'm right here. I never left you." You may feel alone, but he has never left you. Hallelujah. We often start to run without direction of purpose, and the Lord places himself in the very center of our path, so we will run right into him. We are seeking and finding a God who has first sought and found us. Amen. We are seeking and finding a God who first sought and found us. Hallelujah. So seek after him. Hallelujah. Don't want your relationship with the Lord to be that of an employer, an employee, just like I said. Instead, let it be a marriage relationship of oneness and unity, that he can reveal himself through him, through you. Hallelujah. In Philippians, you don't have to go there, 3:14, it says, press, hallelujah, toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press towards the mark. Keep going. Amen. That you are pressing into him. Why does it say, the first word is press into Him, that you know the high calling of God. Hallelujah. And then in Song of Solomon 1:4, you can go there if you want. Sorry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, 1:4, sorry. Yeah, 1:4. Sorry. I said it real fast. I said, first word, what's it say? Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Three things I want to pick. You know, the whole scripture is great, but I just wanted to pick out three things. The first two words, draw me. Number one, draw me. Hallelujah. The second is, we will run after thee. And the third is, the king hath brought me into his chambers. Hallelujah. So we have one, he is drawing us. Two, that we will run after thee after he draws us. And three, that the king hath brought me into his chambers. Hallelujah. So I just want to relate on these few things, and we'll wrap it up because I know Pastor Chris will be done. But draw me relates to our spiritual hunger. Hallelujah. It relates to how hungry are you that you want to be drawn into his presence. Are you just sitting here coming to service after service, or is there a more of wanting that I have to be here, that I have to enter into my prayer room, that I have to enter into worship? There should be a wanting, a more desire of drawing that you come into a closer reunion with your Father. Hallelujah. Hunger is the basic to all life and finds its satisfaction in many forms. Our spiritual hunger must overcome and rise above all the natural urges of this life. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. It must rise above. Your hunger for God must rise above all that you naturally hungry for in life. Listen, why did we do the fast? The whole purpose of the 21-day fast was to draw you into a closer union with your Father. To get you, the body, all of us, to realize that I want him more than I want this food, that I want this chocolate, that I want this TV, that I want this internet, that we cultivate a coming into his presence, desiring more of him than what we want of these other things. Hallelujah. And I believe we take that, hallelujah, and not just let it go, but we want more of that. Hallelujah. As we lift up our desires for the Lord above all other desires and determine that He, hallelujah, and He alone will feed and satisfy this hunger, we are truly ready to be brought into His chambers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spiritual hunger cannot be created by man, and it comes only from Him. I believe there is a stirring in this body, hallelujah, in this people that we are being cultivated and stirred by a spiritual hunger that is only coming from our Father. Hallelujah. Let Him be the one that speaks to your heart. Let Him be the one that draws you. Hallelujah. Let you run after Him with everything you have. Hallelujah. Because listen, if He is drawing you and you are wanting more of Him and He is bringing you into His presence, there He will whisper His things only to you, unto your heart, unto you, that He will, I believe, give of Himself, a little bit of Himself to you. That not no person has waited and sat in His presence and didn't give up for get up with a word for themselves and for others of what God is showing them. Listen, it's not about you. It's about those that are here in this body. That God does not just draw you into His presence to just give you more of Himself, but to give you more of Himself so He can give more of you to those. Hallelujah. He wants to give you out. Amen. He wants you to fill up with Him, and He wants to pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. We must wait upon or quietly hold ourselves before the Lord so this spiritual hunger may be created within us. Hallelujah. It might not come the first time that you come into His presence. It might not happen. But listen, thank God that He called you and you waited and you come into His presence. Keep seeking. Keep going. Keep finding. Keep knocking. Hallelujah. Keep knocking. Not once, not twice. If you are... Come on. If you are continually knocking, the Lord has to open the door. He will open the door. Continue seeking after Him. He will open the door. Hallelujah. Let it be created within us to desire more. Hallelujah. Let it, if this is your only prayer tonight or what you get out of it, is let this be our only prayer that you want more of Him, that you make a decision to say, Lord, I want more. Hallelujah. That there's more, that there's a drawing, that there's more. Hallelujah. Intimately know Him. In Revelations 3:20, sorry, I'm getting out of line. I'm trying to go quickly. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. At the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Hallelujah. That is a promise of the Father. Hallelujah. That He says, behold, I stand. He's the one knocking too. And if He's knocking, open the door. Open it because He wants to speak to you. He wants to come to you. Hallelujah. And it says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, woo, I will come into him and I will sup with him. Powerful. He will commune with you. He will sup with you. What is that? Sup is like you sit down to supper. That He wants to commune with you. That is important. Don't take it for granted that He wants to be with you. Don't take it for granted. When you hear the knocking, you may be the one. God, I need into your presence. I need into your presence. I need to hear you. Open the door. You are seeking after Him. He will open the door. But then there's a time He comes knocking. And there's a time that He is seeking, wanting you to open the door. Open the door. Hallelujah. Because listen, all He wants to do is come into you and come in and sup with you. Sit down and commune to you, with you. Pour into you the desires of His heart. Hallelujah. That you say, God, I love you. I want you more than anything. That, hallelujah, is where songs get written. That's where you get a word from for the body, for healing, to set people free. That's where you get strengthened. When you feel like you're going through the motions, when you feel like you don't have an answer for your problem, that's where you will find an answer, hallelujah, because you are communicating with the Father, hallelujah. Are you fully determined to run after Him? Hallelujah. The Lord is bringing forth a people who are willing to be tested and proven in order to become all He has determined us to be. Hallelujah. In Revelation 3:18, it says, try us, amen, like gold tried in the fire. Yes, like gold tried in the fire. It has to go through the fire to be what it was intended to be. Just like us. God is liking us. Like, in a sense, gold has to be tried. Hallelujah. He wants us to be like that gold tried in the fire. Those who are willing to go into the wilderness and face intense hunger until they are fed by the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. It requires those. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. I should take a drink. But just like Jesus, listen. When He was ready to start His ministry, Jesus was baptized with John. Came up out of the water, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God descended on Him as a dove. Hallelujah. And then the Father spoke these words. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but just because God settled on Him and that He was pleased with Him, do you know what happened next? Hallelujah. There was something more, listen, for Jesus to experience. And in Luke 4:1, it says, Jesus came up out of the water, full of the Holy Spirit, and received the blessing and impartation. Now the Word had to become personalized or made flesh within His own life. And He was driven, it says, He was driven and compelled by the Holy Spirit, and He went into the wilderness. What? That was His next thing. He was baptized, No, I mean, the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Hallelujah. And then the next thing, he was compelled and driven by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Okay? For how many days? 40 days. Hallelujah. 40 speaks of testing. By the end of this time, Jesus had overcome every temptation and had defeated Satan. Then Jesus came forth from the wilderness in power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, he had to go through things. He went into the wilderness. The wilderness speaks of testing. Hallelujah. But listen, he had to go through that so he would be proven that the power of God would rest upon him. Hallelujah. Just like us, we are likened unto Jesus. Our life is likened unto his. For many are called, it says, but few are chosen. His Spirit must be in us. Hallelujah. And we shall be witnesses unto the Father. Hallelujah. The power, the Holy Spirit is power. Hallelujah. It's also called dunamis, which is an enabling power of God that flows through our lives and guides our spiritual development and identification with him. Listen, in these last days, I believe, what God is doing, we have to be drawn to him, first of all. I hear noises. We have to be drawn to him, hallelujah. And the Spirit of God must dwell within you to be able to get through the wilderness, the times where you are not strong enough. The Holy Spirit has to be within you, hallelujah. That's what's going to get you through the wilderness times. That's what got Jesus through. And when he got through the wilderness, he came out in the power of it. He was able to get through anything that came his way, just like we can, hallelujah. Not that we are not tempted and we don't struggle here and there, but I believe we have the power of Christ within us. We can get through all things, hallelujah. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that causes or enables us to walk and to continue walking, hallelujah, in his statutes. His power imparted in our lives, hallelujah. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, listen, is a gift. We all know that. It is a gift. But the power of it is conditional, and it is only available to us after we go through the wilderness times. We have to go through some things. Amen. Pastor Chris, myself, the disciples, you can come up here desiring the Spirit of God, to be empowered by the Spirit. And just because the Spirit of God comes upon you, you thinking you can go out in the power of it. Listen, the power will come upon you. The Spirit will come upon you and will enable you to get through many things. Hallelujah. But you will have to go through some things to be gold tried in the fire. Hallelujah. But listen, he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. It is an enabling power, his power through you. Hallelujah. He will get you through all things. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be ups and downs. But listen, he will not leave you. Hallelujah. And also, the last thing that was drawing us to himself, and to be drawn into his chambers. Listen, to be spend time with him. To be intimate with him, to bask in his presence, to wait upon him. Listen, this is so important, that those times with him are utmost important. Spending time with him, coming into his chambers, all that is coming into his presence, drawing unto him, hallelujah, that you are saying, God, I want you. I want to wait upon you. I desire more of you, hallelujah. And in Isaiah 40:31, I know I'm going all over the place, huh? my spirit's on fire. Hallelujah. We all know this. We all know the scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. But listen, there's a condition on this, and it starts out, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, and if you are waiting upon the Lord, look at all the promises in there. that you will mount up with wings as eagles, you shall run and not be weary, and you walk and not faint. But what? Only if you're waiting upon the Lord, if you're coming into His presence, this is a promise that He will give to you. Hallelujah. Only then can we be enabled to flow, minister, and touch those because we have received, because we have been in His presence. No, listen, it doesn't mean that we become weary. Hallelujah. We will have those weary times, but just come more into His presence. All right. When you are feeling yourself getting weary, tired, like worn out because you're doing the things for the Lord, just come more into His presence and He will give you, He will supply every need. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we want to get up and go and do all these things for Christ, but we don't want to sit at His feet and sit in His presence. That's where the real power comes from. Amen. That's where you get, hallelujah, the songs of His heart by coming before Him, to be able to, we are declaring in this hour, we are going to heal and set people free. But listen, it's going to require people that are going to come into His presence. Hallelujah. Lord, draw me. Draw me. Not, don't look at your brother or sister. Draw me, hallelujah, into your presence. Hallelujah. We pray, hallelujah, Father, draw us. That it opens the way that will lead us upward step by step into the chambers of heaven. Hallelujah. I have so much more, but I pray, Father, that you were touched tonight. I pray that you were blessed to begin to just seek more of Him, to be drawn more into His presence. Hallelujah. However it is, listen, we all have our ways to come before God. You know, you may be able to put on a CD or a song or sing yourself or a prayer. Whatever it is to usher you into God's presence, do it. Because it's not just for you. It's for you and those around you. Hallelujah. Do it. Hallelujah. Draw. Be drawn into His presence. Hallelujah. Randy, did Liza give you the song at the end? This is an old song. I believe you all know it. Hallelujah. We sang this at Bishop's a couple weeks ago when we were there, and it's just still in my up here that I wanted to sing it again because I am desperate for God. I am so desperate for His presence, so desperate to, and so hungry to have His closeness, His oneness, that if He never does a thing for me, that I just still require and want to know my Father, hallelujah, that I come to before Him, hallelujah, wanting more, desiring more. Listen, if we do that, He will use you. I'm telling you, He will use you. You're waiting on Him. You're sitting before Him. You are pouring, like David said, that your communion with God, if you're communing and supping with Him, He will pour into you. Amen. And like somebody says, we think sometimes we wait for a word to come upon us before we give it. Most of the times, whatever you say is what God would say through you. Do not be afraid to give what you have been given. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid because there is a people that need what you have. Hallelujah. So I just pray wherever you are, you can stand, you can sit, just enter in. Hallelujah. Let this be your prayer that you desire and that you are desperate for more of Him. Hallelujah. Go ahead.